Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. And man, do we have an outstanding show for you. We were, it felt like one tweet away from the Padres winning the World Series. Until Max Scherzer's like, yeah, I don't know, I'm going to... And, of course, we had the NBA draft last night. We had the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team win in a shootout in PKs earlier today. We got it. We got a litany of things. Simone Biles posted on her TikTok, and then it became on Twitter, that she has the twisties, which is a gymnastics form of the yips. So we got a lot to get to here. Okay, let's start with the most obvious, because Colin tweeted about it, and yes, these jokes do write themselves, that he's going in for a colonoscopy. You know, Colin, this whole idea of sharing everything with your audience, like, but okay. So he doesn't get a chance on his show to, I would guess, eviscerate this plan between LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. So, article in the LA Times out today that apparently the three, AD, LeBron, Westbrook, got together a couple weeks ago and hashed out this plan. Hey, man, how about we make one last run for a championship? And I've always wanted to do it in LA. Of course, Russell Westbrook, much like Kawhi Leonard, much like Paul George. Should we point out that PG and Kawhi Leonard are not technically from even Los Angeles County, whereas Russell Westbrook is, but still, you grew up in Southern California, you always wanted to play for the Lakers, or you always wanted to play in Staples, right? Like, it's inarguable. Everybody wants to play close to home, especially when close to home gives you a chance to win a championship and 75 and sunny every single freaking day, right? Okay. But here's the problem with it. I understand that this gives you a point guard and it can move LeBron James back to the power forward. And the worst kept secret in the NBA is the fact that through searching and searching and searching for a replacement to Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, they came up with a worse plan in a Marc Gasol, that the Lakers want to start and finish with Anthony Davis at the five, right? That's what they want. That gives them the greatest chance to win. That gives them the greatest mismatch. And it opens up the lane potentially for LeBron James when he's playing downhill. What they want to do, their goal, their dream is to, LeBron James is like the fourth quarter point guard, and they need somebody else to run in quarters one through three. And Dennis Schroeder is not the guy. The next story you hear out of the Lakers is going to be Dennis Schroeder is signed and traded to whomever. They don't dislike Dennis Schroeder. They despise Dennis Schroeder. For a litany of reasons. But the move yesterday makes sense, right? LeBron's ankle, he's unable to carry a team the way he once carried a team. And Russell Westbrook, with all of his flaws, still averaged a damn triple-double. Still super competitive. And has honestly played his best basketball when he's off the ball in the fourth quarter, going back to his days in Oklahoma City. The problem with that is that LeBron, the Lakers, and everybody else in the league seems to know that Russell Westbrook can't shoot other than Russell Westbrook, so they didn't even guard him in the playoffs 2 years ago. Russell Westbrook's this curious case. Most guys, just most ask yourself as an afternoon weekend warrior, right? The older you get, the worse you move, the better you shoot. Like, I can even shoot now. But the bigger part is, yes, LeBron's not the Iron Man. AD was never, ever an Iron Man. Ever. Right? And I don't think that in the postseason, Russell Westbrook is the Iron Man, but look at the games played in the regular season, and he clearly will give you everything he's got every day he's called upon. And playing in LA and playing for LeBron, they'll both be mutually motivated to give everything they possibly have, everything they possibly have in the regular season. But this comes down to a couple of basketball things and a business thing, right? From a basketball perspective, what have the Lakers sorely missed both the past 2 years? Outside shooting. So you bring in the highest volume, lowest percentage three-point shooter at point guard in the NBA? Is that what you do? Does that make any sense to anybody? Like when they were thinking about Buddy Hield, everybody was like, wow, that's a good move. Right? That's a good move. Now, Buddy Hield was not moved last night. It doesn't mean he still can't be moved. I don't know why the Sacramento Kings would want another point guard unless they can find a suitor for Dennis Schroeder. On the other hand, they drafted a point guard last night, so I no one knows what the Sacramento Kings are doing. There's a reason they had the longest playoff drought in the NBA. But the bigger issue is this. It sounds great to go into business with your friends, doesn't it? I got an idea. He's gotten the idea. Like minds. We grew up together. This is the best. Right? Until you actually get to working together. One, you have Chris Paulson out there going, hey, you know, I'm a point guard, I'm available, and I went to the finals, and Russell can't get out of the first round, but besides that, there's the reality to working together with friends and with family sounds like an awesome idea. Have you ever talked to anybody who's worked with a longtime dear friend or with a family member? They hate each other. They do. Because your expectations of each other are far higher than your likely output. Additionally, these guys, LeBron and Russell Westbrook, are at the end of illustrious careers, not at the start. There's expectations of, hey, you've been here before. You can do this. Like, yeah, your body's not really willing to do it. And Russell's kind of always dominated the ball. LeBron dominates the ball. And Anthony Davis doesn't seem to want to dominate at times, but needs to dominate the ball. This is one of those, in practice, it feels awesome. Hey, man, they're all friends. They're all together. They're all about L.A. They all want to win a championship. They're all aggressive defensively. They'll win on defense. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. But last I checked, he only played with one basketball. Last I checked, LeBron James needs space in the lane. He needs shooting, and no one respects Russell Westbrook as a shooter. And then late in the season, what happened this year is what happens normally. Older players break down. Right? Have you ever owned a car that's really well made? I had an SUV, incredibly well made. Family loved it. We took it everywhere. We had the extended life warranty. It was, I'm not going to give away the name because I know there's certain sponsorship deals. I can only tell you that if you looked at quality of build, you know, check any sort of box for, you know, your consumer reports of what you, it was great. But once you hit like 75, 80,000 miles on any car, no matter how much people, I drove that thing and I overturned the odometer. We had no troubles at all. Our extended warranty ran out on the drivetrain at 75,000 miles. At 80,000 miles, one of the lights went on. Like, yeah, your transmission is. And then there was something else. And then there was something else. And then there was something. This is the way I know LeBron James, it's just a sprained ankle. And it was a groin 2 years ago. But you don't get less, you get more injured as time goes on. So maybe Anthony Davis decides, okay, now I'm going to work on my body in the offseason. I mean, he did just buy a palatial estate that does, unlike Ben Simmons, have a basketball court. Maybe Russell Westbrook is super motivated and works on his jumper and figures it out a little bit in this offseason. And LeBron James, who finds a way to motivate everybody around him, he himself comes back, his longest offseason to date, takes a breath, gets ready, and just starts killing. And as flawed as Rob Pelinka's team and LeBron James's team was last year, they still felt really good about the matchup with the Suns. And I don't think Denver was beating them anyway. And I obviously couldn't plan for Kawhi Leonard to tear his ACL. I think that's where it would have come to an end, but I don't know it, and neither do you. The point is that they were flawed last year. They Montrezl Harrell didn't fit. Nobody liked Dennis Schroeder. They got nothing out of Wes Matthews. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope came back to reality. Kyle Kuzma was frustrated by his lack of minutes. Marc Gasol's washed up. Like, all of those things did, in fact, happen, and yet the Lakers still had a shot to win the title. So I'm willing to say, hey, let's wait a second. Let's catch our breath. Let's let Rob Pelinka finish this and see what else he puts around these guys. But LeBron James chose to work with family. For his one last run, he's going to get all of his guys, less Chris Paul, who actually just went to the NBA Finals together, and try and make one more run at it. What makes us believe that working with friends actually works? When has it worked in the NBA? I guess you can say with the Miami Heat, 4 finals, 4 years, 2 NBA championships, but it didn't in the first year. I mean, the Boston Celtics, when they got their big three together, they didn't even like Rondo. They don't like Ray Allen now. And yet somehow they found a way to make it work. Shaq and Kobe were teammates. They were never really boys. They won 3 titles. Kobe Bryant wasn't best friends with anybody on the team. He lives an hour and a half away from the facility and an hour and 15 from the arena. It sounds like a good idea to work with friends, to work with family, to do the whole family. But tell me when it actually works. And then you bring up the actual basketball flaws and the lack of shooting and the age. I don't know. Look, we're only halfway through this process of remaking last year's NBA champion, but there's just as many questions as there are answers with the move yesterday. All right, coming up next, speaking of GMs, Brian Gutekunst was the GM under fire with the Green Bay Packers. 2 days ago, we heard from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was as forthcoming as anyone has ever been at a preseason press conference. Yesterday, we heard from Brian Gutekunst. What's our takeaway? I'll tell you next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. We will catch up with Kurt Heelan, lead writer and managing editor for Pro Basketball Talk. Get his thoughts on last night's NBA draft. I thought the Houston Rockets actually did really, really well. But the bigger takeaway on the NBA draft is, like, you don't know any of them. You don't know any of them. I'll play through what Brian Gutekunst said in a moment. Like, I understand fully that there is a European system of having their junior teams. And players become professionals at a young age, and they train the professional team, or they go to these academies, like in Australia, the Australian Institute of Sport, and they learn and they grow and they become better and better players. Okay. But I have to implore you, like, everything about different countries' basketball is different than ours. Okay. The whole system. And nowhere is it more obvious than the Olympics. Right? Their style of play is different. The style of play in America is very much about not just the best players, but entertainment value. Our system all kind of collectively works together. Right? They don't have a draft in Europe. They don't make money off of just name picking guys out of line for the, they don't, that's not how they don't do it. How they make money and what, completely different than how American teams make money. Completely different. And so you're trying to compare, like, well, they do it in Spain this way with their young players. Why don't we do it? Because it's different. One, their educational system when they're young kids is better than ours. Secondly, their junior system is different than ours. And you know, the truth be told, it's not like guys are making a killing when they're a junior. The value of what you're making on one of these teams when you're a young player, 14, 15 years old, you're not making much. If you compare it to the actual value of when you do go to college, it's actually pales in comparison. But we want, like, look, what was missed last night? Cade Cunningham, many of you had seen or heard of because he played college basketball, he played in the Big 12, he played on some made-for-TV events, and he played two games in the NCAA tournament. Jalen Green is a spectacular talent. He's an absolute freak of nature. But unless you follow these guys on social media, you never seen him play. You never seen him play. When half the guys in the first round, you haven't seen play. And even if you have, it's for 1 year and one game. There's no buildup. There's no, I can't wait to see this guy in an NBA uniform. It's all based upon somebody else's hearsay. You know, somebody else's opinion. So I just think it's what we're doing while it compensates younger players sooner does not make the product better and does not grow the audience. Has anybody ever asked themselves, like, why the NBA audience is shrinking? The players are better than they used to be. You can tell me they're not. They are. They're incredibly skilled. They're taller. They're bigger. They're better. Why wouldn't the product's not great. Do you think the product was ever great in the regular season? No, come on. Too many games. It's been 82 games for a long time. I think a good portion of it is we don't know the stars and where they're playing. And two, the younger players, it takes them a year or two of playing in the NBA before we figure out who they are for the most part. All right, we'll get to Kurt Heelan in a second with a wah-wah NBA draft, even if some teams really did a good job of fixing themselves for starting the process of fixing themselves for the future. And then you had the Lakers move, bringing Russell Westbrook aboard. What do the Lakers do next? Is there a Brooklyn Nets problem? Because there's some weird stuff. There's always weird stuff with Kyrie Irving, but really weird stuff this week. Get all that upcoming in about 7 minutes. Brian Gutekunst has been under fire. He's the general manager of the Packers. All he's done during his tenure of Packers general manager, moving up the totem pole, is put guys around Aaron Rodgers, hire a new coach, and they've been to two straight NFC championship games. But because of his lack of, I guess, bedside manner, Aaron Rodgers called him out for the entire organization, but really the front office, for how they've handled departing players in the past, not integrating his opinion into their opinion on personnel. It was Goody's chance to rebut. How would he do it? Would he do the old NFL thing, which is, you know, you have a couple of choices. You can do the Bill Belichick, and we're on to Cincinnati. Or you could do what most guys do, which is like, hey, man, A-Rod's back. Everything is great. We're great. Love you. Never a problem. Just completely act as though nothing went wrong. Or option C, tell the truth. Like when he was asked about acquiring Randall Cobb.
You guys made the decision after the 18th season not to bring him back in free agency. Is he really just here to make Aaron happy? Is that primarily the...
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big, you know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Randall's still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me of, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room and for our football team. But, you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
Yeah, listen, there's nuance to every comment, right? As there should be. There's nuance to it. Why would you let him go? I didn't necessarily let him go just because Aaron liked him. They probably let him go because he came too expensive. Let somebody else pay for a guy at the end of his career and overpay for him. Like that's smart. And he's been hurt the past 2 years, which only proves that Brian Gutekunst is kind of right in their evaluation of his inability to be healthy, right? Big part of ability is availability. But we wouldn't have done it if not for Aaron. It's very important to Aaron. Right? He said two things in this press conference. One, I'm still in control. And two, we gave Aaron a lollipop. That lollipop is Randall Cobb. Aaron Rodgers said he never wanted to be a lame duck quarterback. That's why he wanted a contract extension. Here was Brian Gutekunst's response to that.
I've never looked at it like that. Obviously, at the moment, he's got 3 years left on his contract, so we certainly don't look at it as a lame duck. We may alter that, but even at that stage, it's not going to be a one-year contract. So never looked at it like that. As you guys know, in this business, everything's year to year, but I've never looked at it as a lame duck situation with any player.
Yeah, I've never looked at it as a lame duck situation. And by the way, that is the old stick out my chest. We got him under contract for 3. Yesterday was reported that they signed the deal to make it more like 2. But he's not a free agent at the end of the season. He's still under contract. Brian Gutekunst was very honest. And if you liked Aaron Rodgers' honesty and his perspective, then why wouldn't you like it if it's Brian Gutekunst? I was listening to Dan Patrick earlier today. He had Dan Orlovsky on, right? And Dan Orlovsky said, hey, when I was in Detroit, Matt, they ran some stuff by Matt Stafford. How'd that work out for Detroit? Right? Tom Brady has been the most successful quarterback in our lifetime. Did they run things by him when he was in New England? You know? Now, he pitched a fit. He got them to get rid of his backup quarterback, his potential replacement. And that very well may happen with Aaron Rodgers. But the takeaway from yesterday was Brian Gutekunst saying, Randall Cobb is only here because of Aaron Rodgers, and he's still very much under contract after this year. Nothing has really changed. This is not the NBA where this player empowerment thing. Anyone who says things have changed, look around. Let's get to Lee DeLapp with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, the NBA draft last night, Doug, something to watch. And, of course, we got to see something that moved us all. They paid tribute to 19-year-old Terrence Clark from the former star of University of Kentucky, who, of course, tragically lost his life in a car accident back in April. Here's a little sound from Adam Silver last night at the NBA draft.
It is my honor to now announce that with the next pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the NBA selects Terrence Clark from the University of Kentucky.
Of course, his mother, brother, and sister were in attendance last night at Barclays Center, and Adam Silver added his extraordinary talent, commitment, and dedication to the game deserved to be recognized on this stage. What did you think, Doug?
I mean, I thought it was an incredibly classy move by the NBA. You know, the Terrence Clark accident's a tragedy. You know, here's a kid who has his future in front of him. He hops in a brand new car. He's driving too fast, and he crashes and dies after a workout. It's awful. And it's a cautionary tale, right? I'm old enough, during my lifetime, when Len Bias died, that was my never do drugs moment, right? When Magic Johnson contracted HIV, that was my always practice safe sex moment. And for young players, the Terrence Clark story should be one in which, you know, you go man, life can be taken from you so quickly, but too, it's you have to understand that the fast, fancy cars, that's not who you are and what you do, you know? But I thought the NBA just exuded class. You could not have handled a really, really difficult situation any better than how they chose to do it last night by drafting Terrence Clark into the NBA at that spot. Adam, so it didn't take away the shine from any of the players who were drafted. It just gave him and his family, you know, a quality moment or two, and showed. I do think there's a difference. Do I think the NBA goes at times too far in the favor of the players? Yes, but in this particular moment, that was about as classily done as you can possibly hope to accomplish.
Little news from the Olympics today. United States women's national team advanced to the Olympic semifinals on penalty kicks. Goalkeeper Alyssa Nair made two incredible saves. And here's a little sound from Megan Rapinoe, courtesy of NBC Sports, the deciding penalty kick.
Megan Rapinoe to send the United States to the semifinal of Tokyo 2020. It doesn't get much more comprehensive than that. Megan Rapinoe into the top corner, and the USA win 4-2 on penalties.
So the United States advances. They're going to face Canada on August 2nd. That's Monday in the semifinals for a trip, for a chance to face off for Olympic gold on August 5th.
Yeah, they kind of survived today. Like, it's not the same. We're not the same dominant. It's a little bit like USA basketball. Like, we're not the same dominant team we used to be. But Rapinoe, corner pocket, ends up with a win.
Lastly, a week of formalities here. Yesterday, the 14 SEC presidents and chancellors voted unanimously to extend that invitation to the Big 12 co-founders, Oklahoma and Texas. Today, the Board of Regents for Texas unanimously voted to formally accept that invitation to join the SEC. Oklahoma is also meeting today, expected to join suit there with Texas. And this could make the SEC the first 16-team Super Conference come 2025.
What Oklahoma's done is awful. Awful. They've been in the same league as Oklahoma State since 1920. Okay? 1920. You do the math. That's 101 years. And they chased the dollar. And look, it's one thing to go like, hey, listen, our athletic department, we've been really good. And we lost a bunch of money last year like anybody else. And this is a way to stabilize ourselves for our long-term future. Understood. There's a dollars and cents to anything you do in universities, right? They don't necessarily have to make a ton of money, but they can't lose money. And with Texas likely leaving the conference, they're like, we gotta take this lifeboat. The problem is that they were in meetings with the Big 12 and they never said anything to Oklahoma State, and they left Oklahoma State in the lurch. That's weak. That's awful. Okay. And what's ironic about it is a good group of these same people are Thunder fans. And they still, to this day, you know, the cupcake thing with Kevin Durant. Like, what do you think Oklahoma just did? You know? You can't beat the SEC. They haven't won a college football playoff game. Didn't win a BCS game since they won the national championship 21 years ago. So you join them to collect the bigger checks. It becomes easier to get in the college football playoff when it expands. That's the same thing. Turning your back on your brother university in a same small state is awful. It's a joke. It's the Benedict Arnold of college athletics. And I have friends that have gone there, that work there. They all know it. And the only response is, yeah, well, it's the money. Like, okay, if it's about the money, then it's greed. It's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do would have been, preferably, hey, we'll go. We're taking Oklahoma State with us. Let's make it a 20-team super conference. Or two, at least, and this is the least you would ask from him, like, hey, Chad Weiberg, you just got the job as AD of Oklahoma State, your alma mater, your dream job. Little heads up, in a couple months we're leaving. You need to set your... They completely blindsided. And I don't think people understand what that does. What that does to the university, what that does to the athletic department. The prospects are, hopefully, the Pac-12 reaches out. Maybe the ACC reaches out. Big Ten, I don't think, is reaching it. Like, that's not what they're... The future does not appear to be nearly as bright as it used to be. And Oklahoma, not Oklahoma State, is the cause. Doing that to your brother institution in the same small state where you'd been bonded together for 101 years, playing in football since 1910, uninterrupted through the Dust Bowl, through the oil bust, that's a joke. They should be ashamed of themselves. And that's Lee DeLapp with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, last night was the NBA draft, but what's more interesting than the NBA draft is the movement in the NBA. Kurt Heline joins us. Of course, if you go to NBC Sports and their coverage of the NBA, he's the managing editor. He knows everything that's going on in the league. Let me get your reaction to Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. Will it work?
Yeah, I think it'll work in the regular season. Russell Westbrook plays hard. Russell Westbrook will put up numbers, and the Lakers have been desperate for someone to be a secondary shot creator, right? I mean, that's what Dennis Schroeder was supposed to be. It didn't really pan out that way. Russell Westbrook, Rajon Rondo did it in the bubble, in the playoffs, and so they've got a ring, but they haven't had anybody who could do it consistently. Westbrook certainly is that. Like, he is going to give them more shot creation. He's going to play hard, and especially if LeBron or AD miss any time during the regular season, he can step in. Doug, playoffs? Like, I watched this. Laker fans are kind of like, oh, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah. Think back to 2 years ago. Lakers versus Rockets in the bubble, in the playoffs. What was the defensive strategy? We're going to get the ball out of Harden.
Not guard him.
We're going to get not
guard him.
Westbrook.
You had to play 4-on-5 on offense.
Not guard him. Yeah, and it worked. The Lakers 1-5. Like, it is just not a – they've got to round out the roster, so it's, you know, too early to say, you know, for definitively, but I just don't think – this helps them when they need it second round and beyond, which is when the Lakers expect to be great. I mean, they still have LeBron and Anthony Davis. They're still a threat, but this is a hole for them in the playoffs.
Okay, what else can they do, though? Okay, so, I'm willing to not close the door and go like, all right, you got non-shooting. You got three dudes who are bounded together, and they're going to play together, whatever.
Yeah.
There's got to be more moves because they don't want Schroeder back, and they don't have enough players.
How they round out this roster is everything. They've got to get better defenders, you know, some athletic wing defenders, and they need shooting. They just flat out need shooting right now. Anthony Davis and LeBron can hit some, but they're not true shooters. The problem is there's 29 other teams looking for shooting. Like, shooting gets expensive. The Lakers, LeBron, Davis, and Westbrook alone will be paid over $120 million next year. They're over the cap with those three guys. And that just limits the money they can spend, you know, it, just because of the CBA. It limits the money they can spend to go get other guys. The one real opportunity they have, if they can pull it off, is a sign and trade of Dennis Schroeder somewhere for a shooter, or shooters, or some depth. I don't know where that'll be, because some of the teams he's looking at, like Chicago and New York, can just flat out sign him, and the Lakers just lose him. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes, but that's their big hope. That's, I think, the big card they have left.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd. Carter Healing, join us from a Pro Basketball Talk. Okay, the Kyrie Irving stuff is kind of under the radar, but people inside the league have talked about it. First, he comes out critical of his next Kyrie Irving 8, right?
Yeah.
Called the shoes trash. Signature shoe, he called the shoe trash. Fires his agent. And then there's kind of a weird text tweet exchange with him and Kevin Durant gets in there as well. Are we totally sure that Kyrie Irving is in Brooklyn next year?
If you're asking me to get in the head of Kyrie Irving, I can't help you. I don't know. I mean, not to be glib about it, but he is an unpredictable guy who kind of works to his own beat. And I am not 100% sure of that in any way. There's clearly some frustration there, and I don't know if it's because he realizes – I thought this when it happened. You know, they say, Harden ceded – you know, he ceded the ball handling and the point guard duties to James Harden, and he was clearly going to be the number three option. I'm like, you know what? That sounds great when you make your first playoff run and, you know, it's winning and everybody's happy. What happens the middle of next season? We just may have gotten there earlier. That's a lot of ego and a lot of guys who want the ball and want their numbers on one team. And let's be honest, I mean, with all due respect to how good a shot creator and the handles and everything Kyrie Irving can do, it's Durant 1, Harden 2, right? You are the third option on that team. And I'm not sure he's happy with that. He's clearly not happy with a few things, including the shoes and whatever is going on there. It is absolutely possible. Let's just say I know that the Nets have at least gauged the market. I don't want to say they have tried to trade him, but I think if you're a smart GM like Sean Marks, they'll tell you, like, hey, if we put Kyrie out there, what's coming back? And that they've checked.
But who would want him? And for the record, Kurt, I think he's an incredible talent. I think everybody does, but. You know, you got to cut off like half the teams in the league he wouldn't want to play for because they can't compete for a championship. And the teams that could compete for a championship, you don't even know if he's going to show up to work. Or you don't know if he's going to show up if you trade him. It's almost an impossible situation for Sean Marks where they completely control their own destiny. The players do.
Yep. And, I mean, you think about the teams where Kyrie has been the number one option. They haven't been very good, man. Like, I genuinely think he's got to be in. You know, look, he won a title as a number two, next to LeBron James in Cleveland. That just may ultimately be what he has to do if he wants to play at the level he's going to. I'm just not sure that he sees it that way. And if he doesn't see it that way, and he's unhappy, and he seems to be constantly, he seems hard to predict and a little bit, I don't know. I think we've all been in a relationship where we're with the person where we're like, where did that come from? I feel like there's a lot of that. Like, it's just a lot of, every day it's new drama. And at some point, for a lot of teams, it's not worth it. For the Nets right now, because as long as Durant wants him there, it's worth it. But we'll see.
How surprised are you the Warriors weren't able to make a move last night?
By the end, not that surprised. Everybody was trying to trade down out to get veteran help. The problem was there just really isn't that much on the table. There's a lot of teams that think they can win next year. There's a lot of teams that looked at what Phoenix did and said, hey, man, their young players came around. They got Chris Paul. They went and got Jay Crowder, and suddenly they're in the finals. And why can't that be us? And it's becoming really hard to find your Jay Crowder, for lack of a better word. Like, your veteran you can trade a couple of guys and bring in somebody who can help right now. They shopped the 7, the 14 in combination with Wiseman, without Wiseman, in virtually, every conceivable configuration. There just wasn't anything out there. And at the end of the day, but by the way, Kuminga could be good. Like, I just don't – it's the timeline is the problem. Like, Wiseman and Kuminga could be really interesting together in a few years. They just – that's not the timeline they're on with Steph Curry, and I don't know what they do about it unless there's some team out there that really wants those guys.
Damian Lillard, does he play for the Trailblazers start of next season?
Yes. Start of next season. Start of next season. I still think he stays. I think he's worked too hard to get to Los Angeles. He's going to sign a max extension and stay. Now, whether that's a one-year deal or a max deal is, like 3-5 years or something, is another question. I wouldn't feel real stable that he's going to be a Clipper for a long, long time, but I think he resigns and takes the money right now.
Any sense that Kawhi Leonard would look elsewhere?
Eventually. I think he wants to win. He wants to get a title, and I'm not sure that I'm not sure how should I put this. Right now, like, the Clippers just made the conference finals without him. They kind of have to like the roster. You've certainly got an owner who's competitive. Has built really nice facilities. They've become a very team-friendly. People don't realize this. Clippers are really considered team-friendly around the league.
Like, yes. Really, yes. The Lakers are. Lakers are not. The Clippers are. It's crazy. Yeah, the Lakers are not. Exactly. The Clippers are.
Yeah, they're considered really player-friendly. Really, it's really worked a lot of things. And, the owner can – the pocket change left in his couch can fund that team at an incredible level for years and years and years. So, like, they're set. If he doesn't feel that they, in a year or so, can win a title, I think he'd be more than willing to move on and jump again. Right now in the short term with the ACL, he takes the money. And by the way, I don't know that you're getting a whole lot closer than the Clippers right now. Like, that's still a team that's a contender if things just break their way a little bit.
Last thing, who impressed you most with the NBA draft last night?
The easy one is to say Detroit because they got the number one pick and then they took the guy who should be the number one pick. But I'll tell you, I like Orlando. I like what Orlando's got some nice young pieces down there already with
Cole Anthony,
Obama. Yeah, exactly. Well,
Jonathan Isaac.
Jalen Suggs falls to them. And what I liked was, hey, Jalen Suggs is going to be ideally a lead point guard, right? I don't care if I have Cole Anthony. I don't care if I have Markelle Fultz. I'm going to take the best guy on the board and the guy who could turn out to be electric at the NBA level and see if it works. And if I've got too many point guards, well, then I'll trade one of them. Like, go get the best player on the board and figure it out later. Don't give me we don't need Luka Doncic because we have De'Aaron Fox. Like, go get the best player. They did it, and I think they're becoming an interesting team. The way they put that roster together, they go get Franz Wagner. They've got some other guys there. I just think that they're an interesting team as they start to develop. Houston is the same thing. I think They get Jalen Green. They've got some they picked three other guys in the first round. They're just kind of – they're developing, but they're interesting.
I like Houston more than I like Orlando. Orlando's got a lot of stuff. Stuff. But forever rebuild mode, it does feel like down there. Kurt, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, take care, Doug. Be good.
All right. Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk. Follow him at Basketball Talk on Twitter. Max Scherzer was a Padre for like 5 minutes. Turns out he's a Dodger. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This The Herd. So something weird happened yesterday in baseball. Trade deadline is today, and the Dodgers needed frontline pitching, that because one of their pitchers is on suspension, basically. And you need arms. It's an arms race. The Padres thought they had Max Scherzer. Scherzer, of course, has won an American and National League Cy Young Award. He's in the last year of his deal, and the Nationals are selling all their parts and going to kind of rebuild mode. And something strange happened. The Scherzer deal was done, only, hey, we hadn't actually asked Scherzer if he'd waive his no-trade clause. He wouldn't, and instead became a Dodger. He and Trey Turner are now members of the Dodgers. That's a wow. There's still questions about the back end of their bullpen and what do you do with Kenley once you get to October. But there's at least some similarity to Justin Verlander, who, remember, a couple years ago when the Astros banged their trash cans on the way to winning a World Series, Verlander changed his mind, first wasn't going to go to the Astros, and then Dallas Keuchel talked him into it. Feels like the Dodgers may not have won a World Series, but the Padres lost one yesterday. Why Aaron Rodgers was 100% wrong. That's next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.